as we turn to this passage. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, work in us, Father. Let us know more of who you are, your love for us. Bring us closer to you and reveal yourself to us by your Spirit. Jesus' name. Amen. During World War II, there was a secret hospital in partisan Slovenia, hidden in a gorge in the hills. It actually treated people from both sides, but had to remain secret. The Nazis would destroy it. They even, to scotch the rumours of its existence that were around, created a fire in the gorge near the hospital and spread rumours that there had been a hospital, but it had been destroyed in the fire. The hospital survived through the war because of this type of secrecy. And there was good reason for it being secret. But today we're going to see good reasons for many things in our relationship with God being secret. Jesus starts by saying in verse 1, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Jesus presents a choice. Either our acts are for display before men, or they're out of our relationship with God. Doing things for praise by men gets its own reward. Now, there are times when one does do things so that others can see. I know of people at the place I used to work who were told to send emails to certain other people very late at night so that that person would think that they were working hard rather than lazing around. Obviously, that sort of deliberate act was to be seen by men who thought working hard and working late went together, which isn't necessarily true, as some of you, I'm sure, know. But it was an act to get credit now. And at Jesus' time, many of the leaders of the Jewish people would show their acts so that others would see what they were doing and praise them. They'd make sure others would see their gifts at the temple. They'd throw it into the receptacles, the things that held the gifts that were metal, and by throwing it as hard as possible, it would sound very, very loud. It emphasized how much they gave. And they'd tell people when they gave to the lady to show how good they were. And here, Jesus says, that's their reward. That God doesn't look at it with value as they do this, to display it to others, for show, to get the others to praise them. And it's not just of the giving. He says similar things about fasting. That if you do fast, it's not about being seen by others. If one fasts, which was more common then, but even if one gives up something for Lent, one should still be enjoying life. I know a few years ago, people at work picked up when I gave up coffee for Lent, but that's because they were so used to me drinking it that they asked why I wasn't. I certainly hope it wasn't because I was grumpy or miserable. But Jesus' point here is that any form of fast is about relationship with God and saying God's Lord over our lives and rejoicing in that. While sometimes this can be having a focus on a particular issue that you may want God to deal with, the emphasis is that fasting acknowledges the joy of God's Lordship, even amidst our lives. So it should be something that's done out of a need for God and an acknowledgement of his Lordship. And it's not just fasting that Jesus raises, where one should be careful of one's motivation. He also says that with prayer. The question he's asking is, are we praying to enjoy relationship with our Heavenly Father? Or are we praying so that we can say we're doing it and to be seen by men? That's what the Jewish leaders are doing that Jesus is taking aim at. They were the ones supposed to be providing the example to people of how to pray. And what they were doing was providing an example of how to be self-righteous. They were trying to demonstrate their righteousness, whether in the synagogues, the religious buildings of the day, or even on street corners. They wanted to be seen as God's servants, held as God's servants, that should be looked up to. And we've seen God's view of that. You've got your reward now. I don't think much of it is God's view. And Jesus continues on this theme in verse 7. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Our prayer is not to be performance related. It's not supposed to be how long you speak to God, how much you can say. We work in a performance society. We have awards for best actors. Sportsmen get recognized with international selection. We have rewards and medals for people who've done things of merit. We have an Australian of the Year. All of which are rewards for people who've done things. Rewards for performance. But prayer's not about performance. It's not about how much you say. It's about expressing it from the heart. If I'm asked which prayer or prayers in church over the last few years have been the most effective, I'll tell you straight. And it's not mine. I know I do most of them. Yeah, I did them today. I'm up front most these weeks. So I say the most of it. Obviously, I try and avoid, as Jesus puts it, babbling like the pagans. But it's also not any of the people that I regularly get to pray when I'm away. So, who does that leave? Well, it leaves two children. And I'm not talking about the time when I was visiting when Lila read prayers I wrote. I'm talking about when I persuaded both Lila and Ava to pray their own prayers in church as part of the prayer time. Ava very ably and simply said, thank you for friends and family. But I think all those who were there bought into, because there were things we delight in. But the most important prayer, and the one yet to be answered, was Lila. She was shorter still. She said one sentence, asking for more young people, more youth in church. Yes, it's a prayer that's yet to be answered. We're yet to see it fulfilled. But it's the type of prayer we should be praying. The type of prayer God answers. It doesn't waffle. It expresses what we desire in few words. And it asks for something that's He wants also because it grows his kingdom. Prayer is not about sounding good. It's not about many words. It's not about talking forever with words we've learned. It's about thinking, speaking to God on things we care about and allowing him to speak into them. It's about relationship, that he knows what's in our hearts. So we should seek to express that. Not try to perform, not try to be good enough at what we do for God to accept us. We can pray remembering we're saved because of Jesus, not because of ourselves. So what we say should express that. And Jesus continues by telling us how to pray. And too often, the Lord's Prayer is something that is used to say is simply a set of words that we just repeat. And that's actually not really what Jesus is doing here. Because what Jesus is doing is using the Lord's Prayer to encourage relationship with God. He starts it with our Father, expressing relationship, that we're a part of God's family and should seek to grow his kingdom. Because it's ours as well. We're his children. But then Jesus goes on with the recognition that that relationship is not with some nobody or even with an equal. In fact, we're the nobody in the relationship, or would be if it wasn't for God's grace, because it's with the God who created the universe, the one all-powerful being. It emphasizes that he's in heaven, showing what our reaction should be, that we should give him praise. That's the hallowed be thy name, that we should recognize who he is and the privilege that we have of relationship with him, being welcomed into his family. And that's what should feed into our prayers. It's shown by how Jesus continues in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should be asking for God's kingdom here on earth. Now, there's two parts to this. I'm not really going to deal with the future, Jesus returning. Obviously, that's when God's kingdom comes in full. But we can also ask, and should be asking, for God's kingdom in our lives now. It's easy for us to just look at the world, the wars, the diseases, viruses, and think that's where God's kingdom is needed. And certainly it's true, when God's kingdom comes in full, there won't be any of those. It will be great. But if we're just looking at that, we can forget that we ourselves go our own way, that at times in our own lives, we become central, and in our selfishness, we forget God's kingdom and are more worried about personal gain or how we're seen by others. Yes, we as Christians should be looking forward to Jesus returning, to God's kingdom coming in full. But in the meantime, we should be seeking to live reflecting the kingdom of God, seeking for him to work in us by his Spirit, so that we display more of him and what his love means in our lives. So, that our relationship with him is what we live out of. And others see in our relationships with him. In fact, what we should be seeking is that our relationship with him is what others know us by. We should be seeking to represent more of God's kingdom in our lives, bring God's kingdom to others, and encourage them to be part of the same. And that's what we're actually saying. If your kingdom come, your will on earth as it is in heaven, in the sense that it applies now. It doesn't just think of the future, but what happens here and now. This is actually emphasized by "Give us today our daily bread." We're asking our Heavenly Father to look after our needs. Food, drink, and clothes. Too often prayers can become a wish list, where we're more focused on what we want in life, on our kingdom than on God's. Where we just tell God, this is what we think should happen in the world, just do it. Without actually reflecting on who he is. And in prayer, we should be focusing on God's kingdom being more and more represented in our lives. And therefore seek to develop our relationship with him. And as we develop it, to grow into it. And that will change how we live. Now, the emphasis on God's kingdom and our need for him is also seen in "and lead us not into temptation, but protect us from the evil one." We're asking for God's hand over our lives so we will not fall. God can and does provide protection. He does look after his people, his family. He wants us to remain faithful to him. So we ask him to enable that. Again, we're asking him in relationship for something he wants for us that we'll be able to live for him. That should be our desire expressed to our Father as we seek to get to know him better. Now, for those of you who have been attentive, you'll have noticed that I've missed one element in this prayer, because I'm coming to it last, because that area is forgiveness. And while we love the idea that we're forgiven by God, the prayer actually says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And if you're wondering if there's a link between God forgiving us and us offering the same forgiveness to others, you could be thinking, surely God just forgives, and while we should offer it to others, we can get away without doing so. Well, Jesus is even more explicit in verse 14, where he says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Jesus is making it clear, forgiveness towards others is not an optional extra. It's a must if we want to be part of God's kingdom. God's merciful. He offers us a place in his kingdom. But that's a kingdom where mercy is valued. It's a key characteristic of the members of the kingdom. It's key to us representing God here on this earth. We must forgive. We must show his mercy to others. Now, there are some great pictures of forgiveness that we can draw on. Many of the people executed in the US found forgiveness through Jesus. And people executed in the US get a last meal, and their words are recorded. One said, "I'm sorry for the pain. I'm sorry for the life I took from you. I ask God for forgiveness, and I ask you for the same. I know it may be hard, but I'm sorry for what I did. To my family, I love each and every one of you. Be strong. Know my love is always with you, always. I know I'm going home to be with the Lord. Shed tears of happiness for me." He's speaking of having a personal relationship with Jesus, having committed a murder, having done something wrong. Knowing he gets forgiveness from God and asking the same from the family. So that's one picture of forgiveness and knowing the forgiveness of God. Another, who requested his last meal, went to a homeless person, a request that was denied. He said, "I apologize for your loss and your pain, but I didn't kill those people. Hopefully we will all learn something about ourselves and each other. And we will learn to stop the cycle of hate and vengeance and come to value what is really going on in this world. I forgive everyone for this process, which seems to be wrong." He forgave despite being killed, apparently unjustly, for a crime he did not commit. The kingdom of God's about forgiveness. That person was expressing forgiveness. And the more we know that we're forgiven, the more we'll forgive. Now, I know forgiveness is sometimes hard. I know in my life when issues have been ongoing issues, that's tough. It can also be tough when you're living with the consequences and it seems so unfair. However, if that's you, be honest with God about it. Admit it's wrong. Admit you need to forgive and reflect on the cost of the mercy that God offers us. Jesus, the Son of God, dying on the cross for us. God can and will work in your heart. But we need to remember that if we aren't prepared to struggle with our anger, our bitterness towards others, if we wallow in unforgiveness, if we don't seek to bring God's mercy to bear on our attitude towards them, then we won't receive God's forgiveness. If we don't learn to forgive, we won't be forgiven. So, if there are areas of unforgiveness that you know about, bring them before God and focus on the mercy Jesus provides you, because that's how we forgive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that we've received through Jesus. The forgiveness that restores relationship with you. And help us to bring that forgiveness, that mercy, into our relationships with others. In Jesus' name, Amen.